Our Creator is a passionate God. And we were created in His likeness, in His image. And God has given us emotions. And emotions, you didn't know that, but God gave you emotions, yes. But you know, sometimes our emotions can get in the way. And other times our emotions can be a real blessing. But emotions are something that God gave us. God gets angry. God loves. God is joyful. Amen. God has all these, this full range of emotions, and we were made in His image. So emotions are not evil. I know some people think, oh no, we can't be emotional people. We have to just be doctrinal people, you know. But we were created in the image, you know, of God. And He is a passionate God, and we know that because primarily of the witness of God's great love and manifestation of love in the cross, the passion of Jesus. Jesus was so in love with you and me, so passionate that He was willing to suffer the ultimate pain and suffering on our behalf so that we could be with Him. That's how much He loves us. God is passionately, passionately in love with you. And so emotions are a gift from God. Amen? Now, we know that we're not supposed to be led by our emotions. That's where we get into trouble. But our emotions will also manifest what is going on in our spirit. Our mind, our soulish realm, is to be controlled by the Spirit of God within us. You've heard it said before, but your spirit man is like the adult in the situation. Amen? And then your mind, your will, your emotion has to submit to the adult. That's the mind, which is often like a teenager, you know. One day I'm believing, one day I'm not believing. One day I'm good and one day I'm not, you know. And that has to be renewed and come into agreement with the Spirit of God. Yes. We want to be whole, right? And your body, of course, is like the five-year-old. It's the child that has to be tamed, right? Yes. Has to be disciplined, has to be told what to do. Your body's not to tell you what to do. That's where we get into trouble, amen? A lot of people are governed by their body. Sometimes the mind's not even engaged. It's just the body telling them what to do. Well, emotions are a part of us, and they're a precious thing, because when the Spirit of God moves in our heart, like David said, when the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, you know, then He came alive. He danced before the Lord, and He expressed Himself even using His might or His physical body as an expression of worship to God. So our entire being is to be governed by the Spirit of God. We are body, soul, and spirit, and all three parts of us need to be engaged in worship. Amen? You can believe something in your mind and yet not act upon it in your body. God calls us to obey His voice. And you can assent even in your mind and your intellect that is a good word. That's good preaching, brother. I really appreciate that sermon today. And we can walk out and do nothing with it. That's why James says to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if you're just hearing the word but not doing it, you're deceiving yourself. Now in Deuteronomy 10:12, the Lord said, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So what does God command Israel to do? He says to love Him with what? All their heart, and to serve Him with all their heart and their soul. Their whole being was to be an expression of worship to God. So God commanded us, hear me, to do what? To love Him. Now, question, is it possible to love on command? The nature that you and I were born with, the Adamic nature, the fallen nature, all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That old sinful nature is incapable of truly loving God. And yet God held Israel to a standard to love Him. And the Bible tells us in Romans that God gave His law as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was to reveal to Israel that what they were required to do was beyond what they could naturally do. Because naturally we are separated from God. Naturally we are fallen. Naturally we are incapable of truly loving God. Now we look at David's life in the Psalms. He expressed himself in so many ways. How many believe that David really loved the Lord? What was the difference? David was one who had the Spirit of God with him. You understand? The kings, the priests, and the prophets had been anointed with the Holy Spirit. They had the Spirit of God with them. So they were capable of really loving God and communing with God. As a matter of fact, the people depended on the priests to represent them to God. But in the new covenant, the Spirit of God, He said, will be poured out upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Amen? So in the new covenant, the Spirit of God will dwell within the heart of God's people. And then we will be capable of knowing God. And God is love. And so when you know love, you will love Him. You cannot know God and not love God. And you cannot say you know God if you do not love God. David loved the Lord. He had communion with the Lord. He had sweet fellowship with the Lord. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Today we have the privilege and the opportunity of being a container for God. Being a vessel that God fills. Amen? We become His temple. He doesn't dwell in church buildings. Amen? He dwells in us. Amen. And we come together in a church building and it's glorious. Amen? But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know that. But God is a passionate God and God gave us emotions. And emotions are a good thing. Now, hear me. When you and I disconnect from our emotions, when we are emotionally detached in our spiritual life, complacency is the result. You mentioned something, it's interesting that you brought it out where you said sometimes we just feel flat or numb. Yeah. When we get into a place of complacency or apathy, there's a disconnect somewhere. When we are truly plugged in and receiving the life of Christ, it will animate, it will quicken our entire being. And our emotions will even bear witness to that reality. If we have no emotions connected, come on, how can we be an expression of God in this world? Now, I know some people, they have what you call loveless devotion. They're very clean. They live a clean life. They live a pure life. They are very busy doing things for God. But unless they are connected to God, it is legalism, loveless devotion. The Pharisees could tell you about God, but they didn't know God. They couldn't express God because God was not in them. Jesus says, you're full of dead men's bones. You look clean and holy on the outside, but inside you're dead. You're like a walking gravestone. So today we have the privilege of coming into the very presence, the throne room of our Father, the throne of grace, so that we can receive all that we have need of to be filled with Him and to become an expression of Him. And when you are in agreement with the Spirit of God and you are integrated into God, then your emotions will also bear witness to the fact that you are connected to God. The problem is some people, they just simply depend upon their emotions as a sign that God is there. If I don't feel God, then God's not there. I have discovered that if I would just set myself to pursue or seek the Lord, that good feelings will follow. But a lot of times the good feelings don't precede that. Usually I find myself in some type of desert. Ever been there? Been in a dry place, in a wilderness? You may be doing all the right things. It may not be that you've got some kind of sin in your life, but it could be that you're just in a desert. You're just in a wilderness. But isn't it interesting that even as Israel old, God had provided for them manna and water in the wilderness? God provided water from a rock. So wherever you find yourself, there is a source of refreshing for you. Even in the difficulties of life, even in the valleys, God will sustain you. And when you are full of life, you will be an expression of life. You can't say you're full of life and not be an expression of life. Our works that we do for God are to be a result of loving God and not an attempt to love God. Your works are to be a result of your love for God. Amen? And not the opposite. Sometimes we get caught up in attempting to love God. Works are something that are birthed in the Spirit. Dead works are good things that we do that have nothing to do with the will of God for us. The world is full of dead works. They do good things, good deeds. But if that good deed is not birthed in the Spirit, it is zero. Amen? It is worth nothing. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. God has a will for you. And in that will, you will find your satisfaction. You will find your completeness. You will find that God will fulfill your deepest longings. The problem is that people are looking for love where in all the wrong places. We're looking for paradise. Back in the 60s and 70s, we had to get ourselves back to the garden. Well, guess what? You're not going to get yourself back to the garden except through the door. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. He is that way to paradise. But God said, love me. And how many have struggled with that one, saying, well, how do I love a God if I don't really know a God? Amen. If I don't know God, how can I love God? There was a time in my life where I read that I knew about that. But I didn't know what loving God looked like. I didn't really have that. Because God wasn't in the house. Once He comes to dwell within us, things change. Now we start to desire the things that He desires. We begin to love the things He loves. We want to do the things that He's doing. We want to be involved in what He's doing. We get excited about what God is doing. There is an expression of joy which is going to be reflected in our emotions even. You think God wants His people to be gloomy? No, God wants His children to be blessed, which means extremely happy. We should be the happiest people on the planet because we have hope. Our works are important, but we've got to be born again. In other words, if a person is not born again, they're incapable of really loving God. And so, again, works without a passionate love for God is legalism. Now, hear this. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants us to win the lost. Amen? To invite them to the banquet, to come into the kingdom, to come by way of Jesus into new life. But you know, the kingdoms or the nations of this world are not going to be drawn to God because of our moral stance. They're not going to be drawn to God because of our, I'm sorry to say, right-wing politics. They're not going to be even drawn to God because of our ability to preach. But they're going to be drawn to God by the love of God. Amen. That is expressed through a people who are in love with God. If you and I are not in love with God, the world is not going to want what we have. That's why a lot of people don't even want to go to church, because they've sat in dead churches. They've got them into places where those people are not happy. They bicker, they fight. They've completely lost their vision and their purpose of being there. And their last experience is all they can remember. And so they said, I don't want to go to church. You know, the people in the world are having a better time than they are. Folks, I think that's a tragedy. We should be having the best time. Did not Jesus say, I came that you might have life and life to the full? What kind of evidence is there of God in us? Is there the manifestation of Christ through us? Do people look at us and say, you know, everybody else is stressed out around me, but you've got peace. Everybody's gloomy and staring at the ground, and yet you have joy. People are miserable and backbiting and backstabbing and gossiping and tearing one another down. But you love people. You build people. You look for the best in people.
Yes.
There's something different about you. David said in Psalms 84:1, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. David said that his entire being yearned, cried out, sought after God. Body, soul, and spirit. Your physical body desires harmony, communion with your Creator. Your mind, your will, your emotions desire intimacy with your Creator. These things are important. They're an important part of us. Your emotions are a gift from God, and we are to express God even through our emotions. Sometimes when we're growing up and we're teenagers, we get very self-conscious, you know, right? That pimple on your face. Oh, my God. You know, but we get self-conscious. And it's like, and you ever go through a period of your life, I know I have, where you were afraid to let your personality out.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You kind of kept yourself in a shell. This fact, some of you here today are in a shell. God wants you to break out of that shell. And He wants you to express who you are in this world. Be who you are. Amen? And be okay with who you are, because He made you who you are. And He wants you to be who you are. You don't have to be like anybody else. You can be you. God sets you free to be you. So we go through this stage sometimes, everybody, you know, where you're just kind of like very self-conscious and, you know, so concerned about what everybody thinks about you. And sometimes in church we're that way. You know, we get concerned about what people think about us. What will people think if I really get happy and start praising God in Walmart? What will people think if I, you know, really get happy and start doing all that, please, not that Jericho March thing. Sometimes you just got to break out of your shell. You just got to get over yourself. I got to get over myself. David had to get over himself. David said, I worship the Lord with all my might. His whole body, his whole being was involved in it. And I know this is not doctrinally correct in some circles, but it's biblically correct. We are to be an expression of God. And if we were made in His image and God has emotions, He gave us emotions, and it's okay to get emotional. How many men have grown up with this idea, well, we don't cry, men don't cry, you know? You know, people can actually snap and go crazy for not crying because they bottle things up and they don't express it out. Jesus wept. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and wept over the city. I've heard a song years ago. It's called Tears Are a Language. And tears are a language that God understands. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. Emotions are God's gift to us. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn. But it's a way that we express our heart, our love for God. And David says that his whole being would cry out and pursue the Lord. The reason why a lot of people get involved in sin and idolatry in its different forms is because there's a real devil who tells people that what he has to offer is better than what God has. And in some church circles, if you look at the way that they conduct themselves, you have to wonder if that's not true. Because there's no joy. There's no love, there's no peace, there's no substance, which is Christ. Christ is all of those good fruits. And we are to be an expression of love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. All those good fruits of God, amen. We are to be an expression of that in the earth. And so the devil has convinced many people that God doesn't have the answer. God's not going to make you happy, but I can. Let me offer you a cheap counterfeit. He doesn't tell you that. He just dresses it up to look so appealing. You ever notice you drive by the casino, everything is just lights and bells and whistles and beautiful colors and flashing colors. And there's a lot of heartache in that casino. Broken lives, broken dreams. You know, people have lost all their life savings on a stupid machine. With all kinds of bright colors. The devil dresses up the lie to appear to be superior to what God is offering. And what God is saying is, do you really want to live? Come to me. I came that you might have life, and life more abundantly, an overflowing life, a superior quality, superior quantity of life. God is pure pleasure. God is actually delightful. He's pleasurable. He's joy. He's peace. He's love. He's all the things that we're pursuing. Don't believe the lie that somehow God is boring. You don't know God if you think God is boring.
Amen.
God is exciting. We talk about revival. It means to come, return back to life. We need to be revived. Amen? Brought back to full flame. Return to God. Set yourself apart. The idols need to go. The lesser things that present themselves as if they were superior need to go. See, people can fashion an idol, right? Anything they want. Some people, it's their car, you know? Or as people do in other countries, they create an idol that they think, I think my God would look great just like that. You know? I'll think I'll put a horn over here, a third eye over here. And you can make your God to be whatever you want your God to be. But it's a lie. God is who He is. And we were designed to be carriers of His presence. We were made for Him. We were made for fellowship. God delights in His children, and He wants His children to know the delights of His presence. He wants us to know the superior reality, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We rejoice in the Lord and hope. God is exciting. God is delightful. God is pleasurable. God is awesome. Come on. Psalm 65 and 4. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. How many have decided to follow Jesus here? And how many have discovered that Jesus is the only one that can really fulfill you? Amen. Amen. Listen to the New Living Translation, Psalm 65, 4. What joy for those you choose to bring near, those who live in your holy courts. What joy awaits us inside your holy temple. Hallelujah. Folks, do you believe that you have joy today? Yes. See, faith releases that joy in you. Amen. Your mind has to conform to what's real, to what's true. If you are looking at things from the wrong perspective, if you're just looking at things from a gloomy perspective, come on, it makes a big difference. Amen. There's an old song we used to sing. It was "Count Your Blessings." When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We got to get our perspective, amen, from heaven and not from the chicken yard. Yeah. Shift gears. Get out of the funk, amen, go higher. God says come up higher. Yeah. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills. If you don't believe God is good and pleasurable, you won't seek Him. We say we believe. Do we believe that God is good? Yep. Do we believe that God is pleasurable? If we do, then we will seek Him. Come on, somebody. Amen. Well, I did my Sunday morning thing. I'll see you next week, maybe. We are carriers of His presence. Wherever we go, He's with us. His strength and His grace is sufficient for us. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. That He is a what? Rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we really believe that God is good and God is pleasurable and God is delightful and God is someone you want to be with, then you will seek the Lord. And if you seek, Jesus said, you will find. Folks, not everything is just going to be handed to you. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We got to put the idols aside. We need to turn off the tablet, turn off the television, turn off the music, turn off the distractions. And we need to turn on to Jesus. We need to seek Him and discover how good and how pleasant He is. On the annual feast, Jewish feast of the tabernacles, the Israelites, they would build these temporary booths, and they were made of palm and willow trees. And they represented the temporary dwelling places that commemorated their wanderings in the wilderness. And so during this feast, there was a part of that feast called the ceremony of the water drawing. And the priests, along with a multitude of people, would go down to the pool of Siloam and draw water. And then they would ascend to the Temple Mount, hear this, with a multitude of people rejoicing. They would go down from the Temple Mount to the pool of Siloam, draw water, and with the people and the priests, they would ascend to the Mount, hello, of the Lord, the Temple Mount, rejoicing. It was called the ceremony of the drawing of the water. And then on the top of the mount, the priest would take this water, he'd pour it while reciting Isaiah 12:3. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore, with joy you will what? Draw water from the wells of salvation, the fountain of his spirit. Do you know that word salvation is where we get the word Yeshua? You will draw water from Yeshua. And there was great celebration, great rejoicing at this feast. That's a picture of the life of Christ, the abundant life of Christ, who rejoices our soul. God is pleasant. God is pleasurable. The problem with the drugs, and I'm an ex-drug addict myself, is that I was looking to fill up an empty part of me with these things, to feel good. I was looking for a way to feel good. Some people, it may be pornography, it could be a number of things that people try to fill their lives up on. You know, but people are pursuing pleasure. And yet God is the most pleasurable, the most delightful. God is good. It is good to be with the Lord. And so, drugs are just a cheap attempt to fill up something that is lacking in us. Amen? It would always leaves you empty. God fulfills the deepest longing of your heart. And so, this is why God hates idolatry, because idolatry is allowing the thief to steal from you what God wants to give you. Idolatry is you and I worshiping something that can never really satisfy us, but it steals us away from communion with our Creator. And so it leaves you empty, and the thief steals from us. God wants us to find our fulfillment in Him. God wants us to delight ourselves in Him. God wants us to get high on Him. If you want to get high, you got to go to the Most High. I tell you what, there's no substitute for the Most High. Why am I saying this? Because my heart's desire is to see people worship God. To see people seek God. To see people know God, to see people find God and discover the exceeding riches of His grace, the exceeding greatness of knowing Him. And it grieves my heart, because I know it grieves the Spirit of God, when people come and they're disconnected. They're not understanding that God wants them to drink from the wells of Yeshua and be filled with the joy of God. And He invites us to come to the water. It's abundant. It's free. But we've got one big obstacle to overcome in order to drink of that water. And that is me. That is you. That is ourselves. That's self-consciousness. What do people think? I have my dignity. I'm going to tell you, it's pride. Children don't care. They dance, you know, in the aisles of the store. I've said this before. They'll dance anywhere, you know. You're in line waiting for something. They're in happy land, you know. We can learn from children. You got to do yourself a favor and get over yourself. I have to do it. You need to do it too. Amen. We have to get over that self-consciousness and get our eyes on Jesus and seek His face. When you're pursuing the face of God, nothing else. Amen. Just Him. When we come here, I want to see people, and I don't want you to do it for me. I want you to do it for you. Amen. Because God wants to do something for you. He wants to liberate you. He wants to fill you with His joy. He wants you to be an expression of His heart. And in order to do that, you've got to get past yourself and you've got to pursue God. And I know there's some churches, they just don't believe this stuff, folks, but I'm telling you from experience, this is real. And it's biblical. Psalms 36:7. Here's the scripture. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. The river of your pleasures. God is pleasurable. God is delightful. God is awesome. God is good. And God invites us. We've got to get over the opinions of men. We've got to swallow our pride. And when we are together, there is a special blessing. You can get blessed in your bedroom, amen, alone in your closet with God, but there's a special blessing that comes when we gather together with the body of Christ. And God can be pouring out His Spirit, and we can just be sitting there maybe sampling it a little bit with our toe. Man, I don't want to watch somebody else get blasted, amen. I want to get right into the deep end. That's why we're always saying, don't mess around in the kiddie pool, jump in the deep end. Start opening your mouth and giving God audible expressions of praise. Hallelujah. As you do that, the chains will come off. You'll get over and past yourself. And God will fill your life with Him. And you will delight yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. I can't ever go back to creaky, wooden, dry pews. Candles, responsive reading. Forgive me if you like responsive reading, that's okay. But once you've tasted and you've seen how good the Lord is, not only do you want more, but you want other people to get some too. When I was in the world and I had some good stuff, I say, hey man, I got some good stuff. I got something that far outweighs any of that. Amen. Superior to all that. I say, you really want something good. I use that line all the time with people. They say, and they may talk about drinking or, you know, so I say, have you tried the new wine? I tell you what, there's nothing like it. God will take you to places that this world couldn't even touch. He'll take you on a journey with Him in the Spirit. So I get excited when we get together to praise and to worship, because I know we're going on a journey with Jesus. And I'm just saying, Lord, we're just along for the ride. I don't want to be in the lead. I just want to hook up with You and, Lord, You lead. But we want to get to that place where we get beyond the outer court into the holy place. In that place of rest, in that place of the glory. In the place of glory, it's when you're no longer working, but God is doing the work. God is healing. God is delivering. Folks, sometimes all people need to do is get desperate enough to start to really cry out to God. To really call out to God, to wait on God. And like was it Hannah who she cried and she poured her soul out to God until God finally answered. till she had a breakthrough. See, a lot of people, we live in a McDonald's drive-through mentality society today where everything has to be right now and instant. Sometimes you just need to take a time, a season to get apart and to seek the Lord until you get your breakthrough. Amen. You don't have to go to counseling for 20 years. You just need a moment with Jesus. Get into His presence and watch what will happen. Those demons will tremble. Those demons will flee from your life. We don't always have to cast them out. I've had demons leave me because I just sought the Lord. When I got saved, I had all kinds of junk going on. I wasn't completely free from everything, you know. But I remember getting in my bedroom and just crying out to God for deliverance from this and that. And I could sense those things just coming out of me. God did it. Whomsoever the Son sets free. See, Jesus loved the people. And He sharply rebuked the hypocrites, the religious. And He spoke about the hypocrites. He said in Matthew 15:8, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." How many times have we just given God lip service? Somebody's watching me. I better be moving my mouth. I'm singing. Heart's far. No, I want a sincere heart of worship. I want to really discover the joy of knowing Him, glorying in Him, delighting myself in Him. God wants a people who truly, hear me, delight themselves in Him. A people who enjoy Him. Enjoy His presence. And the reason why people are prone to sin is because they are separated from the pleasure of God. Therefore, we look for other things to fill us up. You and I are going to worship, you've heard it said before, what we fear and what brings us pleasure. Why are people so crazy about football? Because it brings them pleasure. Let's face it, it's a form of worship. I'm not saying it's evil to watch football. I'm saying for some people, it's an idol. Yeah. It's their God. It's more important than time with God. Why? Because they are deriving their pleasure from something earthly and temporal. As much as I love the Seahawks, they didn't die on the cross for me. And they can't offer me what Jesus can. Delight, joy, peace, love, a fulfilled life, an abundant life, an overflowing life, a heart that's just full of the goodness of God. Psalm 16:11, David said, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness." Turn to your neighbor and say, fullness. Fullness of joy. Where is it? In His presence there is fullness of joy. If we are getting in His presence, if we are in His presence, there will be fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures. Oh, there's that evil word, pleasures. Forevermore. That word means delightful, pleasant, or sweet. Everything that we have need of is in Him. All that we could ever dream or desire and beyond is in Him. Your life will never be satisfied or complete until you are immersed in Him, until He is the center of it all. He is your heart's aspiration, your heart's desire to have a walk, a fellowship with the living God. Hallelujah. To be an expression of Him in the earth. And people will look at our lives and they say, there's something different. Is there a word in that for somebody today? Maybe you feel like you've been living in a cocoon. You've been living in this box all your life. And there's you. And you know, isn't it interesting? You can get around people who, first time you meet them, they're completely shut down. They're real shy. They're timid. They're not outgoing. But you take that same person, you put them among their kindred or their family or their brothers and sisters, and you'll see a full expression of who they are. It's like, man, I never knew you had a personality like that. How many know that God wants you to be who you are wherever you are?
Yeah.
But you got to get free. You got to get free. You got to break off that shell, that cocoon. Come out.
Amen.
Come out of that box. Come out of that cocoon. And be who you are and be okay with it. You don't have to bow down to the fear of man.
No.
Don't let anybody put you in their box. Break out of that thing. Say, I am who God made me to be, and I'm going to be who God told me to be. Amen? I'm not going to try to be anybody else but me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be an expression of God's heart. Through the personality and the emotions He's given me. This is who I am. Take it or leave it. And most people, once they get to around 70, 80 years old, what you see is what you get. They've learned that lesson. I'm just who I am, take it or leave it. How freeing it is, you know, to be yourself in Christ. So, there's treasure in you, brother. There's so much that God has in you that hasn't even been tapped into yet. He just wants it out. Come out. All the lies, all the things that were spoken over you, God wants to cancel all that stuff out. And man, wash that, flush that from your mind and say, you're my son. That's who you are. And I've created you to be who you are. And you can be who you are. Amen. And live in perfect freedom in Christ. Hallelujah. Whether people like it or not, that's too bad. They don't like me, I like me. And I know Jesus loves me. God wants to crack open. Amen. This shell. I remember having someone speak over me one time that they said, oh, you're living in a shell, and it was true. God wants to break us out of the shell.
Yeah.
So we can express Him. Let our light so shine before men.
Yeah.
That they see the reality, the substance which is Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Folks, I want to encourage you. If you feel like you've been living in a box, you feel you've been living in a shell, you aren't able to really be the expression that you know you are and what you have, then I want to encourage you to get alone with God.
Yeah.
Just really pursue the Lord. Seek His heart. Seek His face. And let God break off of you, okay? All of the stuff, all of the lies, all of the junk that the enemy's put on you over the years.
Yeah.
And let God pull you out of that cocoon, amen? And you're going to go from a worm to a butterfly. Hallelujah. We need to come out of the shell if we're going to be an expression for Jesus. Amen. If we're going to be a witness for God, we've got to get over ourselves. We've got to come out of that box. We're hatched. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.